Welcome to Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. Today, we have the look of love, or we take a good look at love in the time of COVID-19. We've seen the articles of anguish about people trying to date in this time, but we wanted to broaden our conversation about love in the time of COVID by showing all kinds of love in the world. For family, for friends, old and new alike, for oneself, longtime spouses, and yes, for lovers. In this episode, we get into human sexuality, romantic relationships, and sexual health safety during the pandemic. So you can make your choices about that. It's not too graphic, but it is authentic and good information. First up, it wouldn't be Your NM Government without executive producer Marisa DeMarco giving us a news update about all the government activities that we know of today, Thursday, May 21st, as of 5 p.m.
Okay, we always start with global coronavirus coverage and then zero in on the state. In the last 2 weeks, the number of coronavirus cases went up 1 million globally. Over 5 million people around the world have contracted the illness, according to the New York Times. The U.S. still has the most infections anywhere on the planet. Almost 100,000 people in the U.S. have died, the Times reports. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention changed its website called How COVID-19 Spreads to say that the virus spreads easily between people, but not as easily as people thought, from contaminated surfaces, the Washington Post reports. Here in New Mexico, the number of cases is rising among prison inmates and at ICE detention centers, according to the Santa Fe Reporter. Senator Tom Udall announced today that the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General will review ICE's efforts to stop the spread of the virus. State officials announced 163 new cases today, bringing the statewide total to 6,472. Doña Ana County down south has the most new cases. Officials also said there were 11 deaths, which means the total number of fatalities here stands at 294. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham is calling for a special session to begin June 18th to patch the roughly $2 billion hole in the state's budget, New Mexico In-Depth reports. She said she's hoping public schools won't experience cuts. Senator John Arthur Smith told the news outlet that savings and federal money should be enough so that schools don't bear the brunt of the burden. For Your New Mexico Government, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
All right, today we're talking about love in the time of COVID. We thought it would be great to speak with Hunter Riley. She works at Self Serve and she is a relationship expert. Hunter, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
There's some people out here who are, it's springtime, people are feeling the vibe, if you know what I mean. They're not able to get together with a partner or someone new because of socially distancing and maintaining, you know, proper quarantine measures.
Mm-hmm.
How is someone supposed to really deal with that and work that out in your expertise?
So I would say that, you know, there's going to be a couple things you think about. One, give yourself permission to be wherever you're at, right? For some people, they're like, I am horny and I need this, you know, and other people are like, I'm not getting those feelings. So wherever you're at, it's fine. And that's the first thing that I say. The second thing is that those of us who do long distance relationships have developed a lot of really cool skills and ideas of ways to connect with people virtually. And what you're able to show up for might just really depend on who you are as a person and what kind of things you get into, depending on what your style is. Use your phone. If video chats are overwhelming for you, that's okay. You don't have to do video chats. Some good old-fashioned texting, emailing, letter writing. You can still go on dates. I have a friend who's gone on several dates, on Zoom dates with people, and she's like, I think I've made a really amazing connection with this person, and we haven't met, you know, in person yet. They cook dinner together, and they watch a movie, or they'll just chat online. Or I have friends who are like, I'm growing a plant at my house, and my partner is growing a plant at their house. We're figuring it out. The internet, we are very fortunate to have access to the internet. So there's lots of ways that you can still connect with people online. And even if you're not really wanting to do the relationship thing, but you're kind of wanting to get that kind of feeling, there's lots of amazing webcam sites you can go to talk to people, to flirt with people. There's people who are making all sorts of exciting content that you can engage in if you're just kind of wanting to see who's out there, but you don't want to leave your house. There's really cool ways that you can actually kind of simulate dating, but also staying home and keeping your health and wellness in mind.
One of the things that have been happening in the national zeitgeist and consciousness is a lot of conversations between people about sexual health and safe sexual health practices. How does that conversation change given that COVID-19 is around? How do people engage in, what layer does that add to this conversation?
There are a lot of question marks in this conversation. So we are still learning a lot about how this is transmitted. And basically, one of the big differences, and I have a really great friend, her name is Chrissy Holman, and she does a lot of really cool work, but she was talking about, like, what are some of the differences between coronavirus and STIs. And one of the big ones is that most STIs aren't transmitted, you know, in the way that COVID is, right? So it's, oh, you know, breathing face to face with somebody is risky. Obviously, kissing somebody, making out with somebody, very risky. So it's not exactly like the STIs that we've been dealing with previously. But what I would say is we can use the skills that we used to have those conversations around sexual health and wellness. We can apply some of those same skills here. And it's hard to do risk assessment when you don't understand the threat, right? That's another big difference, is that you can't consent to something that you don't know. And scientifically, we're still learning. We don't know. We don't have a lot of answers yet. So it's a little bit wibbly wobbly. And I think people are really going to have to do this work of, what are your sexual health ethics? You know, what are your morals around this? What are your health needs? What are the things that you're going to have to deal with going out? And what are some high risk activities? What are some medium risk activities? What are some low risk activities? And also, how well do you know this person? You know, do you trust that this person is being honest with you about where they've been and who they've been into contact with and what sort of safety precautions they're taking? So I think that's another thing, is that the trust level is really big. And I know a lot of people who are like, I don't feel comfortable with the thought of dating or having sex with new partners right now because I don't know if I can trust them in this way, that they're going to really be caring about this in the same way that I am. So there's a lot of trust elements in there too. So I think people really need to take this time to outline, what are their sexual ethics? What are their morals around sharing space and around potentially sharing air and body fluids? Because those are all things we're going to have to think about now.
Awesome. Thank you so much. She's Hunter Riley. She's from Self Serve. She's also a relationship expert. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we reached out to a bunch of folks with the question, how are you experiencing love in the time of COVID? What are you learning? What do you hope to take from this? Here's what they had to say.
I'm Vanessa Bowen. I've been married for almost 5 years. Our anniversary is coming up on June 21st.
Oh, well, happy anniversary beforehand to you both.
Thank you.
What's it been like being cooped up in COVID with each other?
At first, you don't realize how much time you actually spend apart from your partner when you're working. During COVID, we basically see each other 24/7. So it's just a matter of figuring out how we get our me time. Yeah. So essentially, we've been able to make that work by me finding time to go for a bike ride or for my husband to spend some time in the studio to make music. So it's kind of nice because it gives us time apart while we're still in the same house together.
Yeah, that's really important because we have our identities as people working in the world being out, and then you get together as a couple, and that's an identity as well. Now, talk to me about your communication. Do you feel like it's improved since you all have been cooped up?
The fact that we've been together, we have to communicate. It's like super essential to let your partner know how you're feeling, where you're at. And before, you know, we tend to be apart and you only have like a few hours out of the day to spend together. So, you know, usually that's like a quite pleasant time because, you know, that's all you have. Mm-hmm. Being together in one house 24/7, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, like this is way too much right now. So it's kind of nice just figuring out how we could both be happy. So it's great. I mean, I actually find it to be a blessing in disguise to be with my husband 24/7, much needed. So I'm very happy and thankful for that, because otherwise we wouldn't have had this. And, you know, I feel like as a society before COVID, we were longing for those connections and having that. And oftentimes, you know, you are downtrodden because you are spending too much time at work, and that closeness that you want with your family, with the people you love, we are kind of lacking on that. But now, as we are spending more time together, you know, it's like building that relationship and feeling that closeness again, and I feel very thankful for that.
My name is Erin Salisbury. I'm a single mom. I've got a 19-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old, almost 7-year-old son. And we're just making it work over here.
So how has the daily routine changed for you all?
Normally we would get up before dawn and do breakfast, take baths, have lunches, and get off to school. But since everything has changed, you know, we've had a really good opportunity to just take our time doing things and enjoy the moment that we have together. We've had so much time to be close to each other. And when my daughter, who I said is 19, she has a job, so she's off at work. And when I'm at work, I'm not with the kids. And we're normally a very close-knit family, but since this has all been going on, we've been even closer. So it's been really refreshing, actually.
That's really nice. Give me one thing that has changed that you're going to keep once COVID is over.
We'll continue with our routine of helping each other out around the house, spending more time together reading books, and staying closer together when we have time. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like when it all changes.
Yeah.
You know, when we go back to the routine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing a bit of your story with us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
My name is Bill Nevins. I usually live in Albuquerque, but during this social isolation period, my partner and I are living in Hocking Mountains of northern New Mexico. That's where we are for the duration. See very few people, a few neighbors that we wave to at distance. We're doing okay up here. We're older people, both in our 70s.
You know, you and your partner are there alone.
Yeah.
How is everything going communication-wise between you two?
Jeannie and I have had a pretty solid relationship for many years now. We've been together for a long time, so it was good to have an established relationship for this event. We miss people and we miss socializing because we're both somewhat social. Surprisingly, we've been getting along really well. I suppose that a quarantine or isolation like this is perhaps a real test of a relationship. And we've been okay. I mean, we work out things. We don't let up annoyances boil, so we sort of bring it to the top and talk about them. You know, like if I forget to do the dishes or something like that.
Yeah.
We both have interests that we can pursue here. She is a musician, so she's practicing her flute and some other types of music here. I'm a writer. I write journalism, but I also write a lot of poetry. Day to day, we've kind of worked out a routine, you know, when we get up, when we eat breakfast. She plays her music. I'm at last learning to play guitar. She sings, and I know a lot of lyrics to John Prine songs, and I can say them.
Nice.
Yeah, we're getting along okay. You know, there definitely is a feeling of worry about other people out there and about our relatives. We each have grown adult children, and I have grandchildren, so we stay in contact via social media as much as we can and email. And we're concerned about them, but we know they're in good places. So we try to both encourage each other to both feel the emotions and the anxiety, yeah, but also not to dwell on them.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
I think we each have, both of us have a pretty good sense of humor. So that's how we're holding up so far. I guess there is the endless question here of when will this end? And when you called, I was chopping some wood, so we actually are preparing for the next winter if need be.
Okay.
I am Maggie Grimason, and I am a woman in my early 30s living with two roommates who are also some of my best friends.
Tell me about love. How are you finding love right now?
Well, I think that in this situation, at first I was craving a little bit of space. Like, it felt claustrophobic to be in a small house with two people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding love purely in their friendship and also through communication, because it's been a real test of our ability to share with each other what makes us feel good and safe and comfortable and happy.
How were you able to grow within the realms of communication with each other?
Well, I mean, this situation, it can be so tense, you know, like it can feel really challenging. And I think being able to clearly communicate with one another, like, the things that make us feel okay and taken care of, what's allowed, what's not allowed, and just being really candid about those things is a challenge in our normal life, but has become so, like, vitally important in these times when we're quarantined together.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the future, how does this experience, how is it going to change how you love?
I think that I've gained the opportunity to be a better friend and to more clearly express what I want and need, as well as to really think deeply about what makes me happy. And for all those reasons, I've learned how to love better.
This is Your NM Government. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. We're covering the way the virus and health measures are impacting people differently around the state. Along with the slow reopening of the state, we've shifted our broadcast to 3 days a week. Tune in Wednesday through Friday at 7:30 p.m. here on KUNM, or find every episode anywhere you get your podcasts. Anywhere, anywhere, anywhere you get your podcasts. Tomorrow, it's all about race, privilege, and reopening. We take a look at how the debate about how to respond to the pandemic is shaping out. Activist and writer Tim Wise joins the show to break it down. That's tomorrow on YNMG, 7:30 p.m.
My name is Quinn Fati. I live with my partner, Vidi. We've been together for about 7 months, and we started living together about like a month into our relationship. Insert, you know, lesbian joke here. Yeah, so we've been living together throughout the entirety of quarantine.
How has that been?
It's definitely had some like very extreme ups. I work a lot usually. Like usually it would be like 8 hours a day plus overtime. Like I usually like don't see my friends for like weeks. My partner would, you know, we would have pretty opposite schedules, so we would mostly ships in the night kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So now we have like every single day that she has off, I also have off, because now I have every day off, which is great. I have all this time to plan out like all of these very creative dates. And if anything, I think this experience has really solidified our relationship. But, you know, with that solidification, there's also been a lot of like downs to the whole thing, in that she's still working. She's a security guard for a couple of properties in Albuquerque. I'm just like at home, just kind of getting to do whatever with my time, which is nice, but like, you know, kind of a little unstructured.
Yeah.
So she's still at work. And, you know, people still have a lot of time in their day of this very, like, stressful pandemic situation to still be jerks to people who are still working.
Yeah.
So, like, she comes home in, like, these bad moods and, you know, I try to be as supportive as I can and, like, loving as I can, but there's a possibility I might not have my job when I come back. So that's been really difficult sometimes to navigate because of, like, all of this like stress. We don't communicate as best as we should, which I feel like a lot of people are dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm. You feel like it's an opportunity to learn?
It is an opportunity to learn. What I've been trying to look at it, like I get to hang out with my partner for 4 days straight. That is truly something that I have wanted for a really long time. And when we started in this relationship, both of us have kind of been through some very difficult times, which unfortunately kind of leads to not having the best communication styles all the time.
Yeah.
So now that we're in the Thunderdome of needing to have good communication, it's a really good opportunity to just figure out how best to communicate with each other without stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what it's like for a lot of people. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming on and sharing your story. Continued good luck in staying healthy. And, you know, as you and your partner grow together, I wish you good fortune in that as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
I'm Katie. I am single and I am living alone.
How do you like living alone?
You know, if you asked me that 20 days ago, I would have said I hate it. But now that I'm used to it, it's pretty amazing.
So what's changed?
I think it was just sort of the framing, of course. I think everybody, even people who are living with others, feel a little isolated right now. Mm-hmm. The shock was a little bit harder. A couple other people I also know who live alone, it's kind of hard to not even be able to go to somebody's house if you need something.
Yeah.
But then I started framing it as sort of this opportunity to get to know myself a little bit better in a way I wouldn't have been able to otherwise. That's been actually really great.
What have you discovered in getting to know yourself?
I really enjoy my own company. I've recently really developed a house cleaning schedule that I can actually stick to.
Nice. Having a clean home is good. I like the company of myself as well. And something that I do is talk to myself regularly. I've been doing it since I was a kid, even laughing. Talk about how that's soothing to you.
It was kind of like I didn't even notice it happened, of liking my own self and having my own conversations. Mm-hmm. When you surprise yourself of the things that pop up just being alone, you're like, I'm so surprised. Why now? Why here am I thinking about this?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice that I still surprise myself, and I think will continue to do so.
There you go. That's right. Always new points of discovery. So final question for you. Besides your new cleaning schedule that you have, what else are you going to take from this time and adapt to your life post-COVID?
I think really the big thing is taking the time to take care of myself, even if it's just 15 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Of really actually taking that effort of like, you know what? I do have to wake up and I have to wash my face, brush my teeth, and I do need that time to make my own coffee and do that. So that's what I think I'm going to take.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love it. There's more love to the self happening in COVID. Thank you so much, Katie. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
So I'm Rob, and I'm living with my wife and my dog, my partner, and it's a single house. We have a nice big backyard, so I've had a lot of things to entertain myself with. This whole thing has just been kind of us in some ways on top of each other. It got a little intense as things have opened up. We haven't completely agreed with whether we should open or not open or how that's all supposed to look.
So tell me about that and how you all communicate that to each other.
The other day we were having a discussion. We're just sitting out in the backyard and enjoying the nice weather and everything. My stance is that on a federal level, we haven't done even, 75% of what we should be doing or could be doing as far as keeping small businesses afloat and making sure individuals and citizens don't go under.
Mm-hmm.
And I know part of her interest is, well, we have to try and open, you know, she wants to get out and keep working as well. Her stance is very much at some point we have to begin to open certain parts of the country up in order to keep things moving and keep things afloat. And we both came to the conclusion that neither of us are 100% certain on what the best strategy is, because everything feels kind of up for grabs right now.
Like, yeah.
Nothing's solid. And it was a good discussion, though, because they get a little intense as you're having the discussion, point, counterpoint, point, counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of it, it was kind of quiet. We were both in our separate offices, and she kind of yelled across to me. She said, "Are you mad at me?" And I said, "No, are you mad at me?" And she said, "No."
Yeah.
There's got to be some room there for acceptance. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally the only thing I can think of that makes any of this kind of work together.
Yeah.
Like, that's really all you got. You got a shared space. You're having a shared crisis together, and supporting each other and giving each other room is definitely something that has to be there.
Well, I want to thank you very much for coming on and sharing part of your COVID cohabitation tale.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Have a good one, man.
Thank you.
I'm Alyssa Rose. I live in Knob Hill with one roommate.
You live with one roommate. Okay. Do you currently have a partner?
Yes. She lives with her parents.
COVID-19 struck. How are you holding up with that?
Well, we have been seeing each other. Usually in the beginning, in March, it's been 2-week increments. But as things got, we got a little more understanding of what things were going on, it kind of got shorter and shorter. And then also having to kind of juggle my roommate also. She works in a hospital. So just trying to work out what is the least exposure for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, how difficult has that been?
Kind of in the beginning, it was really difficult. My girlfriend works in an optical shop, an eye doctor. Her parents are eye doctors, and she was actually at my house when we were gearing to spend maybe the week together when she got a call that one of her doctors in her practice had been infected with COVID. So at that point, she had to leave. So I didn't see her for 2 weeks, but it was really hard, like, wondering, what are we supposed to do? Like, were you around this doctor? We didn't know. And just kind of, like, making those decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how has this affected your relationship?
Well, it's interesting because we usually spend a few days here and there together. But since COVID, it's like you have to commit to a certain stretch of time. And we've been trying to do 2 weeks because that was the incubation period. But that's not been so steady. I would say it's like a week at a time. But so I'm not used to spending that much time with her all the way. So you can get kind of annoyed with each other sometimes. But mostly it's been good. It's just adjusting. And then also not having the outlet of being able to go places.
Yeah. Do you feel like your communication has gotten better?
Actually, I think in some ways it's gotten better. The other day, I was like, okay, I need the living room to myself so that I can do a workout and, like, not see you and be alone for the next hour or so. So just things like that you don't normally have to say, but when you're in close quarters, you have to.
It's okay. It's like, I love you, but I need some personal space right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit of your story with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
My name is Elisa McGovern, and I am with my partner, Mike. We have been together for 13 years, married for 12, and non-monogamous for 8 of those years. We are still technically non-monogamous, although we're not dating anyone else right now. And we are finding that being sort of quarantined together is actually pretty good, and we made the right choice when we decided to partner up for life.
Nice. So tell me about how you came to that realization.
Well, one thing I would say is that my partner is a tax preparer, and usually from February to the middle of April, I am alone. Yeah. I mean, unless I'm dating someone else, but, you know, I see very little of him during that time because he's working his regular job and then doing taxes on top of that. So having work from home be the safest option, having him transition to this, additionally, the tax season being extended by 3 months, the best part is that I actually do get to spend more time with him and make sure that he gets to eat at least 2 meals a day. I knew I liked him.
Yeah.
I knew I loved him, but I do admit that my only hesitation getting married was, oh my God, what if you get sick of this person? And it hasn't happened because it was the right one.
Nice. I really like that a lot. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Many thanks to Vanessa Bowen, Michael Ellis, and Lloyd Thrapp for the artwork we're using for the post for this show. See what they sent us online at KUNM.org or send in your own artwork about love in the time of COVID, with or without words, to yournmgov@gmail.com and we'll put it up. All right, it's about that time for resources. Find the full list of the resources we talk about on each episode and opportunities to donate or help online at bit.ly/YNMGHub. If you need advice, tips, or just have questions about sex, head to selfservetoys.com. Don't be shy or be shy. Either way, they can help you out. Healthline.com has a great piece on how to live with your partner during a pandemic. Head to the YNMG page at KUNM.org for the link. And also, if you're away from your partner and you want to keep the connection strong, the New York Times has a spot on that. Again, hit up the YNMG page at KUNM.org for the link. Hear us Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on KUNM's airwaves at 7:30 p.m. online. Find the show at KUNM.org or subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, the New Mexico Local News Fund, and KUNM listeners like you. Your New Mexico Government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco, theme music by Pope Yes Yes Y'all. It's produced by yours truly, news update by Marisa DeMarco. I'm Khalil Ekolona, and for everyone here at Your New Mexico Government, thanks for listening.